Your Bibles with me to Matthew 18. Last week, if you remember, we talked about our family in Christ and how we should be helping one another when we stumble. Lift each other up, because there's going to be times when we fail. And that involves some forgiveness. And I feel like a good follow-up message on last week's message on restoration would be a message on forgiveness. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the story that Jesus told in this parable illustrating forgiveness that we're going to read here, but I am just, the more, as I get older, I recognize how great it was that Jesus told these stories, told these parables, and understand that a parable is not a true story. It didn't really happen, but he was just using a story to help us understand, and humans need stories to help us understand. And I wonder sometimes if Jesus told those parables because he was having trouble with people that were listening to him falling asleep. So he told them a story to wake them up, you know? Just a thought. Matthew 18, starting with 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And I will tell you in a few moments, what that is worth in today's economy. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife, his children, and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet, begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, each of you, from his heart. Also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's a pretty crazy story about forgiveness. And today I want to ask you, are you struggling with forgiveness? Are you struggling with forgiveness towards somebody? It's a really tough subject. I am presenting this message to you not as someone who has it figured out, okay? But someone who is still majorly working on it. I have found that forgiveness is the hardest when the person who has wronged you hasn't asked for it. And that's tough because maybe the other person doesn't think they did anything wrong. Or maybe they're not even aware they did anything to you. Another area I found where forgiveness is a little bit confusing and difficult is not necessarily when a definite wrong has been done to you, but when you feel like there's a rift between you and someone else, and there's this tension, and it could be over any number of things, but there's a tension between you, and you don't know why. And then for myself, at least, I find myself having discussions with them in my head, and then I realize maybe I need some forgiveness for them. I first realized this last year, sometime later in the year. I was struggling with the situation, and I was having these conversations in my head, and no, I don't hear voices, just to be clear. And at first, I felt like the Lord was telling me, you just need to work on letting that go. And then after a time, I felt the Holy Spirit prick me and said, you need to ask me for forgiveness for them, for that situation. So now when that situation comes to mind, I immediately, when I start hearing those voices, I recognize that, oh yeah, Lord, I need forgiveness. You know, it's really hard to have an angry and one of those really good conversations you tell the other person off. It's really hard to have one of them when you're praying for forgiveness for them. Just sort of takes the wind out of the sails. And to be clear, this is a prayer that I pray often. I'm reminded of the 70 times 7 scripture. So moving into this subject of forgiveness, I want to state, I know full well how hard it is to forgive. And many times we don't want to do it. And many times we want to make that person suffer because they deserve it. However, I've often heard it stated that forgiving someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Because unforgiveness only hurts us. And you know that prayer that I said I pray from time to time about this certain situation, Lord, help me to forgive? The party or parties involved, they don't know I'm praying that prayer. So how's it helping them? It's only helping me. And that, in my opinion, is the pure evidence that forgiveness is more for me than it is for the other person. We need to forgive so we can live free. Satan wants us to live in bondage of harboring unforgiveness towards other people and harboring bitterness in our hearts towards them. This is a little kid's story, but listen to it. It's good. I think I shared it here before. A little boy visiting his grandparents was given his first slingshot. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit his target. As he came back to grandma's backyard, he spied her pet duck. On an impulse, he took aim and let it fly. The stone hit. The duck fell dead. The boy panicked. Desperately, he hid the duck in the woodpile, only to look up and see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny?" And she whispered him, "Remember the duck." So Johnny did the dishes. Later, Grandpa asked the children if they wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, I need Sally to help me make supper." Sally smiled and said, "That's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it." Again, she whispered, "Remember the duck." Johnny stayed while Sally went fishing. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, finally he couldn't stand it anymore and he confessed to Grandma that he killed a duck. "I know, Johnny," she said, giving him a hug. "I was standing at the window when you did it. I saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgave you. I just wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." That is what unforgiveness does. Satan wants us to live in bondage to unforgiveness and hurt and the anger that we feel, but forgiveness sets us free. I also know that forgiveness, like love, is a decision. It's not an emotion. Just like you must decide to love someone, because love doesn't always feel loving, or you know, even if you might not like the person at the time, you still decide to love. Forgiveness is a decision. It's not an emotion. It's not based on any response or any reciprocation on their part. It's a choice. And forgiveness is a good choice. So that being said, I want to examine three subjects about forgiveness that Jesus shows us here. And he is the ultimate example of forgiveness. And first, you cannot genuinely forgive until you have been forgiven. Oh, I admit there's some nice phrases out there that look like forgiveness that people share when they've been done wrong. Like, "Oh, there's no hard feelings," or "I'm not holding that against you," or "That's no big deal." And they're good sentiments. And it's good to have that attitude in life. It really is. But true, genuine forgiveness only can come from truly, genuinely being forgiven by Jesus Christ. And my question I want to start with, have you truly, genuinely been forgiven by Jesus Christ? If you have, then you know what forgiveness in your life is like, and you can reciprocate it. But if you haven't, you know what to do. Asking for forgiveness. If you have been forgiven by Jesus, you know an incredible debt that was paid for your behalf, just like we talked about redemption, sang about redemption earlier. we were that servant that the king or the master had mercy on. We owed mountains of debt because of the sin that we were inherently born with. But Jesus paid it all with his forgiveness. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Jesus Christ paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. Now I can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. So if you experience that forgiveness, then you know what genuine forgiveness is. Alistair Begg has this to say about it. The Bible makes it perfectly clear that forgiveness doesn't spring from any human merit and isn't the result of our own endeavors to be gracious and forgiving towards others. Rather, it comes from the grace of God. And it is that grace of God that allows us to forgive others when we're hurt by them. And that's why I found that I need to pray for forgiveness. Not just say I forgive, but pray for forgiveness, because it's only through Jesus that I can forgive. So it has to be through him that gives me the strength to do it. So the second subject dealing with forgiveness is the evidence of being forgiven is showing forgiveness. You know how you can tell if a person has genuinely been forgiven by Jesus? If they forgive others. Again, let me read from Alistair Begg. One of the chief evidences that someone has truly repented of their sins is a forgiving spirit. Conversely, if we continue to harbor enmity, grudges, and bitterness in our hearts, we not only harm our own lives and jeopardize our relationships, but frankly, we also call into question whether we've ever truly discovered the nature of God's forgiveness at all. It is impossible to extend genuine forgiveness unless we've experienced it ourselves, and impossible not to do so if we have. It will only flow from our hearts once we have been changed by God's grace and have considered the enormity of our offense against him. When such a transformation takes place, the sins of others against us will carry less weight as God enables us to forgive as we've been forgiven. As I said, we've been forgiven this huge, enormous debt. And that was what Jesus was trying to illustrate in that parable, that story he told. And way I understand it, to put it in today's economy, the servant that was forgiven owed $8 billion to the master. And his fellow servant owed him $20,000. Now put that in perspective. And Jesus was showing the absolute foolishness of not forgiving little when we've been forgiving so much. On the Lord's Day, a group of missionaries and believers, just a minute here, make sure I lose my place. Yeah. On the Lord's Day, a group of missionaries and believers in New Guinea were gathered together to observe the Lord's Supper. After one young man sat down, a missionary recognized that a sudden tremor had passed through the young man's body that indicated he was under great nervous strain. Then in a moment, all was quiet again. The missionary whispered, "What was it that troubled you?" "Ah," said the young man, "but the man who just came in killed and ate the body of my father. And now he has come in to remember the Lord with us. At first, I didn't know whether I could endure it. But it is all right now. He is washed in the same precious blood." And so together, they had communion. Isn't it a marvelous thing, the work of the Holy Spirit of God? Does the world know anything of it? Now that is intense, crazy forgiveness. But that's what Jesus' forgiveness enables us to do. So again, if you want to show that Jesus has forgiven you, then forgive others. And then the last subject I want to touch on is this. if you have been forgiven, then you must forgive. Again from Alistair Begg. If we've experienced God's mercy, then we must certainly not neglect the exercise of forgiveness. In forgiving others, we enjoy the fullness of God's pardon. Give up the records of sins that you're tempted to hold on to. When this is hard because of the wrong you're being called to forgive was serious, look at the debt for which God has forgiven you, and look at it, what he gave up to do so, and that will enable you to extend mercy in return. Surely, if God has forgiven you, he will pour out his grace and mercy to help you walk in harmony with others. From this story today that Jesus shared, it's pretty obvious that forgiveness isn't optional if we've been forgiven. Is that why it's slightly possible that it's so difficult to forgive? Because we have to do it? But think of the incredibly hard thing Jesus did to offer us forgiveness. Bottom line, if you've been forgiven, then you must forgive. It's not optional. I found this checklist online to help with forgiveness, and it is so good. First, begin by assuring yourself that compared to Christ's suffering, you haven't been wronged at all. Think about that. Jesus suffered in ways we can't even imagine, so he could offer us forgiveness. And I seriously doubt any of us are going to suffer the way he suffered. So why shouldn't we forgive others? Because that wrong was minuscule compared to how he was wronged. Second, recall the many kind deeds that have been shown to you, perhaps even by the person who has harmed you. As many times as we get off track and on our own problems, we are really blessed people. And we do really have it easy compared to many others. And it's really easy to get caught up in what was done wrong to us and all that, and really quickly lose track of our blessings. But in general, people are pretty good to us. Third, list the benefits you have received from the Lord. And I recognize that is not practical at all, because you could not list all the benefits you have from the Lord, because you would never stop. But a stop, quick stop and realization of what Jesus has done for us can help us stop wallowing in that pit of whatever's causing us from the hurt that someone caused us or struggle we might be having. I'm a really blessed person by God. And then fourth, thank him for blessing you with his love and forgiveness each day. When you're busy thanking God for all his blessings and forgiveness and his love, it's hard to complain. Then make an honest effort to pray for the one who has injured you. And that's where it gets hard. Because I can tell you from personal experience, praying for someone else is hard when they've wronged you. But it's really hard to be mad at them when you're praying for them. And then number six, go even farther by looking for an opportunity to help them. Ooh, that's hard. It's the one thing to work in my own spirit, but then to go out physically and say, what can I do to help you? Service to someone who's wronged you is huge, but isn't that what Jesus did? If the offense is especially hard to forget, try to erase the memory by thinking gracious and generous thoughts. And I recognize this is more practical than spiritual. But focusing on good things does help block out negative thoughts. And then the eighth one, finally, before you fall asleep at night, repeat slowly and thoughtfully that phrase from the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And if we genuinely pray, Lord, forgive me just like I forgive others. Wow. Is that truly what we want? I know I have my work cut out for me. So think about it. Jesus died to offer forgiveness for the entire world if they choose to accept it. But He would still have died for me or you if we were the only ones who needed forgiveness. Why then will we not consider forgiving others? I don't know if you've heard the phrase social justice, but it's a big term that's being thrown around these days. It's a big subject. It's making a lot of noise. And even good Christian people are caught up in this social justice thing. Everyone needs to be treated equal. Equal rights for all. You know, and it goes into race and genders and all the works, and it's becoming a real problem. Everyone wants justice for an infraction done against them, no matter how small. And you see people all the time coming up, well, he did this to me 50 years ago, and now we need to, and I'm not saying some of it isn't genuine, but it's this social justice thing that's coming up. That's not scriptural, but forgiveness is. Life isn't fair and never will be. And that's why we're called to forgive. I'm not saying people shouldn't pay for crimes. But what I am saying is, when you can ask God to help you have forgiveness, no matter what was done against you, it will do abundantly good things for you. Justice isn't going to help your heart, but forgiveness will. So can we determine to pray for one another and help each other through this subject of forgiveness? It's the hardest thing to give away. And the last thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. It takes everything you have to say the word, forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you've got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying, set it free. Forgiveness. Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me now to do the impossible, forgiveness. It'll clear the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. There's no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through the eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. I want to finally set it free. Show me how to see what your mercy sees. Help me now to give what you gave to me, forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, would you help us, each one of us, to determine to reciprocate that forgiveness and share it with others, because really we're only benefiting ourselves if we do. And we're lifting that burden that's on our hearts, and we're allowing you to set us free. And I pray that you will help us in a special way. Give us forgiveness for those that have wronged us. And help us to recognize and be so incredibly grateful for the forgiveness that was offered to us by you. In your name, amen. Just remain seated for a moment or two while